Well, this transition to looking together at God's Word, you know, a wise snowman once observed that advancing technology may be both our savior and our doom. And I think he was right, at least at this level, that technology is not everything, but it is something. And I'm grateful today for the technology that allows us to be united together around God's Word, even though we're in different places at this time. Well, what is this virus crisis that we're facing? It's a crisis that affects individual health. It's a crisis that affects whole societies. It's also a crisis that reaches as deep as the human heart. Listen for a moment to this reflection from Lyman Stone, who is a business consultant and a missionary in Hong Kong. And so he's seen the dangers of COVID-19 up close for longer than we have here in the United States. And he observes, the coronavirus leaves over 95% of its victims still breathing, but it leaves virtually every member of society afraid and anxious and isolated and alone and wondering if anyone would even notice if they're gone. In an increasingly atomized society, the coronavirus could rapidly mutate into an epidemic of despair. As our culture faces this pandemic virus, and as our culture faces the potential epidemic of despair, as Lyman Stone describes it, what do we need to hear this morning? What do we need together as a church? What do we need as individuals? What we need is we need hope and vision from God. What I want to offer you this morning is not just a few reflections from me as a pastor. What I want to offer you is maybe four things that God Himself intends to say to us today. I want us to hear God's own voice speaking hope and guidance and vision to us. And so there in your home, I want to ask you to actually open a Bible. If you don't have one with you yet, go ahead and grab one, open it up, turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to look together at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Listen along and see if you can notice some of what God is saying to us today in this crisis. I'll begin reading in Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, I want to suggest for us maybe four ways that the gospel affects the way that we live through this virus crisis that we're living through right now. Four invitations that the gospel extends to us in these challenging times. And the first gospel invitation for tough times is this: let's draw near to God. That's what the text is saying in verses 19 through 20, or 19 through 22, rather. You know, access is a really big deal right now. Crises are not new to human history, but our access to news and people's evaluation of the news, that is kind of new to human history. The way that many of us have become kind of addicted to our news sources, this is something new. I'll speak for myself. I know that over the last week, I've noticed how addicted I've become to being glued to my screen and just following the latest news as it's unfolding. And at some point, about halfway through this past week, I had to slow down and ask myself this question. I had to ask myself, how's it going for me? You know, like, how is this working out to be spending so much of my day paying attention to the news feed and so much of my day paying attention to the latest updates as they're flying at me? How's it going for me? And I had to be honest and recognize it wasn't so great for my soul. It wasn't so great for my heart. It wasn't leading me to be a better disciple of Jesus or a better husband to Katie or a better dad to my kids or a better pastor to my church or a better neighbor to the people in my neighborhood. It wasn't really helping. And many of you may need to ask yourself a similar question right now. Maybe, like me, you've become a little bit addicted to this nonstop access that we have to news streams. And maybe you need to ask yourself the question, how's that going for your soul? How's that working out for you? What's been the result of following the news as closely as possible? I ask that question because here in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, we find out that we have a far better kind of access offered to us. What we have in God's Word is we have access to the presence of God Himself. We have access to God's very presence by the blood of Jesus Christ. And look with me, if you would, at why we have this access in the text. We don't have this access because of how we've lived our lives. We don't have this access because of how religious or unreligious our background has been. We don't have this access because of how we've lived our lives up to this point. No, we have this access 100% because of what Jesus has done for us. Look with me again at verse 19. Brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus... It's by His blood, by the sacrifice that He made for us. And since we have access to the holy places by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, verse 22 gives us this invitation in light of the gospel that is an invitation for you today. Verse 22, let us draw near. Let us draw near to God right now. And let me ask you to consider this question. How might your life be different this coming week if we reorient some of our habits away from constant access to information from news sources, and we reorient our habits instead to taking advantage of this constant access that we have to our Father in heaven? I want you to imagine for just a second, how might your life be a little bit different if you spend more time taking advantage of this access you have to God's presence, even if that means spending a little less time taking advantage of this access that we have to nonstop information. How might your life be a little bit different if you develop a habit of living near to God in this time, as opposed to a habit of keeping our faces glued to our screens all day long? The way to the Father has been opened wide by Jesus Christ. It's been opened wide for everybody who will draw near to Him by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that means that even today, we can draw near to God. And we've seen this over and over in the Psalms throughout 2020 as we've been studying Psalms that are written by David together as a church. We've noticed that when we draw near to God, God invites us to just pour out our hearts before Him. And so if you've got burdens on your heart, I want you to know today that you have access to the presence of God, to draw near to His presence and to pour out your heart. To pour out your heart about your concerns for your own family. To pour out your heart about your concerns about your nation. To pour out your heart about concerns about the world. To pour out your heart about the anxieties and the worries and the disorientation that you're feeling inside. To pour out your heart the way that Psalm 13 verse 1 teaches us to pour out our hearts. And to maybe even just say, God, how long, O Lord? How long is this all going to last? We have access to the very presence of God where we are invited to pour out our hearts. But not only that, as Psalm 13 and so many other Psalms show us, as we draw near to God and as we pour out our souls before Him, We don't walk away just the same as when we entered His presence. We walk away with our faith revived and renewed and refreshed so that we say what David says at the end of Psalm 13 and what the Spirit leads us to say if we pray the words of Psalm 13. Lord, I trust in Your steadfast love, and I will continue to sing Your praises. We're invited, even today, maybe even right now, you are invited to draw near to the presence of God and to begin to discover the peace and the joy that are found through access to His presence, as opposed to the anxiety that's found by taking advantage of that nonstop news feed that so many of us have become quickly addicted to. That's the first gospel invitation for us in this time, to draw near to God. A second gospel invitation that we see here in this passage is a gospel invitation to hold fast to the confession of our hope. To hold fast to the confession of our hope. That's what verse 23 says, right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. What is our hope? In one word, you want to know what our hope is as Christians? In one word, our hope as Christians is Jesus. He's our hope. He's our hope for today. He's our hope for weathering this season of crisis and social distance that we're in right now. He's our hope for next year. He's our hope for eternity future. In one word, what is our hope? Our hope is Jesus. And when the book of Hebrews was written to those who first received it, one of the things going on was that in a crisis in their lives, some people were beginning to fall away or drift away from Jesus. They were beginning to drift away from the hope that they had discovered in Jesus Christ. Just like might happen in some of our hearts as well. You know, suffering can do a couple of different things to us. And this is true in a crisis time, like a virus crisis, or like these days of social distance that we live in. It's as true now as it is in any other time. Suffering can do one of two things to us. It can make us bitter, or it can make us better. It can lead us to drift away from God, or it can lead us to lean wholly on God. It can have either of these effects on us. And maybe this is just a moment for you as we're hearing this exhortation, this challenge from the book of Hebrews chapter 10 to hold fast to the confession of our hope in these days. Maybe you need to be challenged and reminded afresh right now not to drift away from God, but to lean wholly on Him. And maybe for a few people watching, maybe in this time of crisis, as so many people have discovered in times of crisis and other moments of history, maybe this is the very first time in your life when you really are leaning on God. Maybe as some of your confidence about what the future might look like is being pulled away from you, maybe all of a sudden you're realizing that you're not as independent and self-sufficient as you once thought you were. And maybe you're being drawn by God's Spirit to lean on Him. The book of Hebrews invites you even today to place your hope in Jesus Christ. Maybe others of us watching this right now, maybe others of us are in this place of being tempted, even though we've hoped in Jesus Christ, maybe for months or maybe for years now, maybe we're tempted to drift slowly away from Jesus in this time of crisis. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it invites us to hold fast to our confession of hope, to keep hold of that message that we believed in the beginning, and that message in which we stand still today. I want to invite you even now to hold fast to your hope, but notice the reason why it's worth holding fast to this confession of hope that we have. It's there at the end of verse 23. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Because He who promised is faithful. Here's something that will be so helpful for you this week. If you've hoped in Jesus Christ, here is something that can help you so much. It's to keep your eyes fixed on Him. It's to keep your eyes fixed on our Redeemer, who is faithful in all that He has promised. is to keep our eyes on the truth that never changes, even in this time that constantly changes. See, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it invites us to place our confidence in the Lord, knowing that He is faithful. So many things change, but He never does. His love is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And His mercy is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And His compassion is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And His justice and fairness is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And His goodness is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And His tenderness is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And in a time when so much is changing at such a rapid pace, it is so good for our souls to keep our gaze fixed on Jesus, who never changes, knowing that His faithfulness is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And all that God has promised for us in Jesus Christ, He will be faithful to bring it to completion. That's the second thing that Hebrews chapter 10 invites us into. It's the second thing that the gospel invites us into here. It's holding fast to the confession of our hope. Here's a third thing that this passage invites us to, a third thing that the gospel invites us into. Verse 24 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You see, here's the third thing that this passage invites us to. It invites us to consider others. It invites us to consider others. Let us consider how to stir up one another. In these days of social distance, let me tell you something. You need other people. You do. And in these days of social distance, you know what else? Other people need you as much as ever before. In these days of social distance, we need each other. You see, our vision is not just to individually be people of hope. Our vision is to be people of hope who are spreading hope to others. You need other people so that the hope that's found in Jesus Christ can be delivered to you. And other people need you so that the hope that you've found in Jesus can be delivered to them. You see, the deepest remedy for the potential epidemic of despair that Lyman Stone warned us about, the deepest remedy is the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. That's the deepest remedy for that potential epidemic of despair. But part of the way that we can resist the spread of despair, part of that way is not just individually holding on to our hope, but spreading that hope from one person to another. And that's why Hebrews chapter 10 challenges us to consider others. It challenges us as part of the body of Christ to remember that we have a mission that's bigger than just me and the few people who live in my household. We have a mission to represent and spread the love and compassion and mercy and hope of Jesus Christ to one another and to others. We have that mission. So how are we going to do that? What are some ways that we actually can stir up one another to love and good deeds? What are some ways that we can actually do that? Well, first of all, we want this week to find some ways that we can keep on connecting with one another. I'm really glad and really encouraged that a few of our community groups have already started getting together through Zoom calls or through other kinds of video calls this past week. And I love the cool reports that I got. Some people who are in different groups than I'm in even texted me kind of little pictures of a screenshot saying, hey, I'm getting together with my group right now. I love it. It's so good to see their faces. It's so encouraging to see my friends. I love hearing those reports where that is happening. And it spreads hope. It really does. It spreads hope to others in the church when we find those kinds of opportunities. But the reason I bring that up is I just want to encourage you, that's not the end of the game. Maybe your group hasn't yet found some ways to get together in video groups or in other digital ways so that you can keep on building each other up and strengthening one another in this time. Find some ways to do that. And after you're doing that, keep on considering. I like that challenge from Hebrews 10. Consider. Keep on considering how we can do this for one another in the church. Keep on thinking about it. Maybe there are some fresh ways that we can connect with other people in our church. Maybe there are fresh ways we can connect with some of the retirement age people in our church who are perhaps a bit more vulnerable to the spread of this virus at this time. Maybe there's some ways we can afresh connect and spread hope to some of our neighbors who are at least probably living in fear and perhaps living in real concern over their physical safety and well-being. Perhaps there are other ways we can reach out to others. Let me suggest just kind of one cool idea that my kids came up with. So this is actually from my kids, and I bet there are some other kids watching. I bet there are teenagers watching right now. There are some families. Tune in for a second because this is an idea that probably could work really easily for you. The idea, I think it came actually mainly from my daughter, Addie. The idea is simply this. Is to draw some pictures or write some letters or do kind of some hand lettering. Is that the right word for that? I'm forgetting the right term. I'm sorry. Some teenage girls know exactly what I'm talking about and I'm messing up my vocabulary and that's okay. But do your hand lettering thing that looks so cool. You know what I'm talking about? Do some hand lettering to write out verses of scripture. And then maybe you can mail them to other people in the church. Maybe you could deliver them to the mailbox of some neighbors down the street. Or maybe you could even send some of them to some senior homes here in our area. And actually, when I got that idea from my kids, I ran it by a few other people in the church, and they actually contacted a few other senior homes here in the area where people are living in new challenges for them because their family members who normally come and visit aren't allowed in for health concern reasons. So they're even more isolated than they normally are. And we called, and everyone that we called as a church was so grateful that other people in the community were thinking about the senior citizens who are living there and who would be so blessed by just getting a letter from a child in our church or just getting a picture or something like that. And so if you go to our church's website, you can find a blog post about that with some more info about how you can actually do that together as a family. But that, again, it's just one illustration. It's just one example of ways that you can spread smiles to seniors in this time. It's one way that we can consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. But these things are just the beginning. There's a whole bunch of ways. Some of them we haven't even dreamed up yet. Some of them you're just beginning to think about right now by God's guidance. There's a whole bunch of ways that God wants us to consider and think about how we can not only be people of hope ourselves who are holding on to the unchanging hope that we have in Jesus Christ, but so that we can be people who are genuinely spreading hope throughout our church family and beyond. So that's a third thing that we can do in this time, a third invitation of the gospel to consider how we can stir up others. Here's a fourth invitation. It's not as explicit in the text, but it's in there, and I know you'll see it. The fourth invitation here is an invitation to remember that this is not the end of the story. Right now, where we're standing or where we're sitting in our living rooms with this virus crisis spreading around us and with the pain and challenges of social distancing and with the potential epidemic of despair that is spreading around our world right now, this is not the end of the story. Where do I see that in this text? Look with me again at the very end of verse 25. As the book of Hebrews delivers these gospel invitations to us, the book of Hebrews also reminds us that there is a capital D, is the way it's translated in the ESV, and I like it. There is a capital D day that is coming. There is a day that is coming. There is a last day. that is still coming. And today we're one day closer to it than we were yesterday. I don't know when that day will be, but we're getting closer and closer to it. And oh, what a glorious day it will be. Now let me say just a couple of words here, kind of in the way that the book of Hebrews talks about that day. And then I want to widen the scope a little bit and think a little bit more broadly about the day, about that day that the book of Hebrews is talking about. One thing I need to say about that day that's coming is that it's not going to be a happy day for everybody. Now, I like good news, and I like to focus on good news, but the Bible tells us the truth, even when the truth is uncomfortable, and even when the truth is not exactly what we'd prefer to focus on today. And one of the things that the Bible tells us, if you just skim down a few verses in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it tells us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And what that's telling us is that if we do not repent of our sins, if we don't repent of our self-centered pride, and if we don't turn in trust to Jesus Christ, what awaits us is the fearful expectation of judgment. You know, there are things worse than the coronavirus. As one theologian wisely pointed out a number of years ago, there are things worse than death. In Hebrews chapter 10, it doesn't pull punches. It talks about the day, and it reminds us to be sober and to be warned that that day will not be a day of joy for those who have not repented from sin and self-centeredness and trusted in Jesus Christ. But Hebrews chapter 10 does tell us it will be a day of reward for all who trust in Jesus and keep on following Him until that day arrives. It tells us that day is going to be a day of reward. And as I'm talking to us as a part of the Redeemer family here, I agree with the confidence that the author of Hebrews has, as he says in Hebrews 10:39, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed on that last day, but we are of those who have faith and preserve their souls. I have that confidence about you, brothers and sisters of Redeemer. I have confidence about that for each one of you who's trusted in Jesus Christ, that nothing will ever be able to separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. And for those who have trusted in Jesus and discovered the hope that is found in Him, I want to remind us that where we are right now, it's not the end of the story. And I want to remind us the end of the story is so much better. And we need to know that because that's where strength comes from to keep on serving. You know, you can find on our blog already right now, maybe we'll talk more about it in weeks to come. The church has weathered many health crises in the past. And in fact, in an interesting way, in some of the most dangerous pandemics in human history, the church has been known not for retreating away from the suffering as much as the rest of the culture often does, but for stepping out in love toward other people who are suffering. And what is it that gives Christians the kind of confidence to step close to those who are suffering, even in dangerous times? It's this hope that we have in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's this hope we have that this isn't the end of the story, that this life is not all there is. In fact, it's this confidence that there is another day coming and it is so much better than what we've seen or experienced right now. The gospel teaches us that there is great hope for all who believe in Jesus Christ about what the end of the story is going to look like. I love the Bible's presentation of where history is going. I love the Bible's presentation of the hope that we have at the end of the story when Jesus returns to make all things new. Let me read to you for a minute a passage of Scripture from Revelation chapter 21, which tells us about what the end of the story will look like. It won't look like what we're seeing right now or what we're feeling right now or what we're afraid of right now. For all who trust in Jesus Christ, this is what we're going to see. Here's John's vision of it in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." And then verse 4, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Listen, where we are right now, with the fear and the darkness and the pain and the suffering all around us, this is not the end of the story. Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain and yet today is standing, he ensures that there is a far better ending of this story. And you're invited today to experience the hope of knowing that he who sits on the throne says, "Behold, I really am making all things new." That's what we're invited into by the gospel of Jesus Christ, even in these times. You see, the gospel invites us to draw near to God. It invites us to hold fast to our hope that we have in Jesus. It invites us to consider how we can love and serve others, even in the midst of a crisis. And it invites us to live with the confidence that this is not the end of the story. The ending, because of Jesus Christ, is far better than anything we've known up to this point. See, the gospel teaches us to be people of hope who are spreading hope to others. And so throughout this week, I want to invite you to continue digging into Hebrews chapter 10 and continue digging into the scriptures and to continue drawing near to God in prayer and to continue meeting together with others in whatever ways we can in these days of social distance and to continue considering how we can stir up others for love and good works outside of ourselves and to continue keeping our eyes on that day. And as we do so, I do believe that we will be people of hope. People characterized not primarily by fear, not primarily by panic, not by despair, but we'll be people most deeply and most fundamentally, because of Jesus, we can be people of hope. And as people of hope, we can keep on spreading hope to others.